when you go down the various sectors of our economy, we have, as you pointed out, a few very dynamic sectors, very successful sectors, the high-tech sector. But we also have a very large number of sectors that are dominated by rank-seeking and an increasingly large, over recent years, a fraction of our economy. So, and it is intertwined with almost every other, with every sector. So we talked so far about the financial sectors, corporate governance, which gives a scope for CEOs, to take a outside share of corporate revenues, is something that occurs in a very large fraction of American, enterprise where there is insufficient they take advantage of the deficiencies in corporate governance. You mentioned agriculture. I would also mention the energy sector, the health insurance sector.
Yep.
Actually, there are lots of, when you look down at the micro local level, there turns out to be, small rank seeking at the local level, but writ large adds up to can add up to a significant amount. So it's very hard to quantify what is the overall fraction of rank seeking in the economy, but I am absolutely convinced that it represents a significant fraction and is significantly distorting our economy.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. I think, but you see it, I think where we differ is you see this as growing out of a deregulation, laissez-faire philosophy. And I see, of course, the exact opposite. I see the size of government growing dramatically in a number of sectors, education, health, agriculture, even the financial sector. Although there's been some deregulation, there's also been increased intervention. It's not regulation, but intervention by government to reduce the natural feedback loops that should make that sector more competitive and more of a profit and loss system where people bear costs for their mistakes. Do you see any problems with that relationship, that as government's gotten bigger, people are spending more time trying to steer it towards themselves?
Well, obviously, rank-seeking through government is a problem, and I won't deny that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of rank-seeking in defense contractors, a lot of rank-seeking we've talked about in agriculture. But it doesn't have to be. There are some parts of government spending where there's actually relatively little rank-seeking done extraordinarily efficiently. I'm thinking of the National Science Foundation, National Institute of Health, NIH, so it's not an inherent property of government, that there is this kind of rank-seeking. What is inevitable, though, is that government is going to set the rules of the game. And what's disturbed me is that, as a result of our politics, that the rules of the game are being set in ways that indirectly distort our economy and create inequality. Our bankruptcy law is an example. Financial deregulation is an example. No economy can go without rules of the game. You have to have rules of the game. The question is, what are those rules of the game? And how are those rules of the game chosen? So what is so disturbing is that the rules of the game in the United States are chosen in ways that do not necessarily lead to a more efficient economy, but which do lead to more inequality.
I couldn't agree with you more. But you know, for example, you complain in the book, and I would agree with you that Dodd-Frank has been a very disappointing financial reform. But it's not surprising that it's a disappointing financial reform. The clamor for reform came from everyday people who were upset with what happened, reasonably so. But the people who spent the most time in the halls of Congress were the ones who had the biggest stake, and they were the investment banks. And as you point out, they watered down a lot of the provisions. The one that makes me the most upset is the too big to fail part. We basically still have too big to fail.
Exactly.
And so that's the way the world works. How do we get a world that's where power is not the decisive voice in political affairs? In other words, it's nice. Let me make it a starker question, because I think this is a centerpiece of your work. You've been one of the, if not the most pioneering voice for the prevalence of market failure. And I certainly agree that markets fail all the time. They're imperfect. Question is, what's better? And I don't think it's easy to make the case that government in practice is better. Government in theory is better, but is government in practice made the case that we won't have these rent-seeking and political power exploitations that you're as upset about as I am?
Well, in a way, you know, when I was writing the book, one title that did occur to me is a paraphrase of President Clinton's campaign, "It's the economy, stupid."
Right.
It's politics, stupid. And you're absolutely right. But I guess my view is that politics doesn't have to work this way. One of the themes of the book is that economic inequality leads to inequality of political power. Inequality of political power feeds back into more inequality of economic power, that we are embarked on a vicious circle which is undermining both our politics and our economics. And so, in a way, what I'm saying is, look, we live in a democracy. We're supposed to be one person, one vote. That was the theory. We've deviated. I describe how we've become much more, almost a better description is $1, one vote. And we're do that too, just like the outcome of the economy is a result of the rules, the specific rules that lead to outcomes that serve special interests, and exacerbate economic inequality. The rules of the political game have been leading to outcomes that exacerbate the effects of political inequality. So, in a way, I think you and I are probably on the same wavelength here. I think we need to reform some of our politics. I try to identify some of the reasons that things have not worked well in politics. Maybe I'm more of an optimist. I think that we can restore democracy and make our democracy more reflective of the views of more of our citizens.